This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome to another Wednesday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. FM 105.7, AM 1340 on your dial. As always, up at fanrunradio.com. If you have to listen there, click the live link at the top. Live stream powered by MyBookie. Hey, and we're on the Periscope up at Fox Sports Knox. That's on Facebook and on Twitter right now as we kick it off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. And as always, if you like free stuff, we got that free 99 Fan Run Radio app. Download that today, wherever apps are sold for you. It's a wet Wednesday. It's a wet one. We got the rain back again. The funniest thing the other day, when we got off the air, I heard Cam Black talk sports, talking about not being able to sleep in the rain. Anybody else have that problem? I know I heard John say that's the – he's never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anybody say that. That's the most absurd thing. Yeah, like,
ever.
I love the rain. Soothing. Like, that's when you get, like, the soothing sleep and you get the deep sleep. And it's just, like, you – when you get the rain, you don't have anything to do. Like, oh, I'm going to nap all damn day. Yeah, I was making sure nobody – on our panel is weird like that. But time to go around the room and see how everyone is doing. Check on their mental health. Charlie and Ryan out yesterday recovering from the shots. Charlie, how are you?
Better.
Much better.
Thought I was dying yesterday.
Yeah.
That was awful.
We're glad you didn't die.
Whole body hurt. Fever was like 102, 103. Like, couldn't walk even at one point. Like, couldn't summon the strength to walk. It was terrible. But I don't know. We've entered into Wednesday. Wednesday for me is usually like, all right, we're here. We've reached it. You're going to work Wednesday night. Move that into Thursday, where then you get high school football going, and then you get your weekend of football.
Yeah.
And then you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mondays and Tuesdays are the hardest days, I feel like. Or at least Tuesdays. Because Tuesdays, you're the furthest removed from the cycle starting back over.
Agreed. So, you're doing good, though. You're feeling much better, much more energy today than yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. And always still just still in a good mood from the Titans winning, too.
Of course. Ryan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I was as well, Chance. That's no joke. That second dose, I was really, you know, thinking I would be completely okay, but that knocked me off my feet, too. I hear you, Charlie. Like, that makes you just not want to get up. Makes you feel all icky and sticky all over. And it was bad, but woke up feeling good. That rain, kind of what we were talking about, made it hard to get up. It was like that nice, you know, dark cloud over you. Just didn't want to get out, but glad I'm here. Good to be back in this chair. Missed it yesterday.
GP3, how are you?
Hanging in there. Just a middle of the week woes, I guess. But hanging in there almost to the weekend and do better then.
Yeah, excellent. A little somber there.
How about you, Chance? How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. It's the middle of the week, so you know Charlie's hump day. Charlie?
End it.
It's hump day.
Stop it.
So I'm super excited for hump day, getting over the hump middle of the week. As Charlie said, you guys think it's kind of hard. I'm pretty excited. I've one step closer to some Thursday night football from the NFL tomorrow. One step closer for some, I believe we have Thursday night football in college as well this week. So
I just need Maction to start up already.
That'll be soon.
Maction.
It'll be here before you know it, but we got the Panthers and also, let's who they play tomorrow?
The Texans.
Yeah, they'll play the Texans. Tyrod Taylor, Sam Darnold, one step closer to the weekend. And one step closer in Florida, Hate Week, as we like to deem it around these parts, to your Tennessee Volunteers taking on the Florida Gators in the Swamp.
You got Marshall App State Thursday, too.
Yeah. That'd be another good one. So, yeah, I'm always pretty pumped on Wednesdays. Rain outside got me feeling a little sluggish. But today, I make the comeback. Today, I'm getting back on the fitness train, Charlie.
Hey.
Gotta lose these love handles around here. I gotta get back out there, start running again, getting myself back in some shape. I've been playing co-ed softball. We got rained out yesterday, though. We didn't have a game. So I kind of took my exercise away from me. But I think after the show, heading to the gym, trying to get back into the swing of things.
Yes, sir.
So, major setback for even better comeback, as the kids say.
I thought it was minor setback for a major comeback.
I made something up. We just ran with it. You had to call me on Front Street, but, you know.
As the kids say.
As the kids say on Front Street. But, no, feeling pretty good. I mean, what do you guys want to talk about today? We got to get into Tennessee-Florida stuff. I know the line came out for that game. We'll talk more about that, how we think Tennessee's going to fare in the swamp. Joe Milton listed as QB1. What are you guys' initial thoughts on that? Me and GP3 talked about that yesterday, but Charlie, we'll start with you.
Being listed as QB1 doesn't really mean much to me.
Dang, he plays this week.
He might play, but I don't know. I kind of still get the feeling that Hooker is going to be the quarterback, at least to start things out. But if you can try to have some sort of deception, I mean, might as well. I feel like...
Do you want Hooker as the quarterback?
I feel like Milton maybe gives you the best chance to pull off an upset, but at the same time, he gives you the best chance to get blown out. Okay. Where Hooker, you can play a competitive game. I don't know. It's weird because...
You think he manages the game more so better than Joe Milton?
I mean, Joe Milton's a risk taker. He is a risk in general. But if he can go out there and throw the ball around the yard and connect downfield and, you know, get something going in the run game a little bit and just be the athlete that he is, maybe you can pull something off. You know, if you're hitting on those passes down the field, maybe you can pull something off. But, you know, at the same time, if he goes out there and is still in the pocket and misses those throws downfield and you know, misses open receivers in the middle of the field, like just doesn't see him, like he has done in the first two appearances, then you're at risk of not only losing, but losing very handily. So is that a risk that you're willing to take? You know, do you gamble on things finally clicking for Joe Milton? Do you have a confidence that they can? I don't know. I don't know enough about how consistent he's been in practice, how healthy he is to make that decision, but I think that's the decision that Josh Heupel has to make.
Interesting. So you believe that Milton has usually the best shot at the upset?
Potentially.
And has obviously
I guess
the most
he has
talent,
the he just has the highest
Hooker
ceiling.
Hooker is the safe. He's the safe bet.
But, you know, it's not to say that, you know, something crazy couldn't happen with Hooker. But it's just with Joe Milton and what he brings in his ability to throw the ball downfield, if he could all of a sudden do that accurately, you know, that gives you upset potential.
Interesting.
Can he do it accurately? Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of me, I'm going to be echoing a lot of Charlie right here because the optimist in me isn't ready to give up on Joe being that starting QB because we saw, at least I saw enough flashes for me to think that he can eventually get there. But yeah, it goes to, do you want the upset potential in Joe Milton if he actually plays the way he can? Or Hendon Hooker is more that, I kind of said this a little bit on Monday, but that tread water. Like, he'll do everything right, maybe a little bit more accurate than Joe, especially from what we've been seeing, but he's not going to be that flashy superstar, we can grab this win at Florida. I just don't see the spectacular flair out of the quarterback position that you usually need in one of these top 25 upsets.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Joe Milton's the wild card. Hendon Hooker looks like more of the safe bet, a little bit more vanilla. But I would agree with a lot of that, too, that Joe Milton maybe has more talent than Hooker, but I don't know if he gives you the better chance of an upset. I think they both can get an upset done. It's going to depend on a lot of things outside the quarterback position, but quarterback will be,
I mean, a good 60% of that, because we haven't seen just a wow performance from either. I mean, you saw Hooker come in and was consistent after he got settled in versus Pitt, and you know, outside of that one awful interception by him, he played pretty solid. You saw him play versus Tennessee Tech. I mean, did what you expected him to do there. Go out, handle business, get some touchdowns. I think he had four total. That's not a big surprise there. Much inferior opponent. So you really can't base anything off of that going into Florida. But I think they both are pretty talented guys. At this point, seeing more of Hooker, I'm kind of leaning to let's just go ahead and start Hooker. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable in this offense than Joe Milton has been. They both haven't really hit the deep balls that, you know, Josh Heupel would like them to do and what this offense is built around, you know, catching the defense off guard here and there and taking some shots. Neither one has done that.
I mean, you aren't really trying it as much, too, with Hooker.
You weren't trying. I mean, they tried some against Tennessee Tech. I mean, he missed a big one to Cedric Tillman. Nobody can hit Tillman. Harrison Bailey missed one to Ramel Keaton late when he got his opportunity to get some snaps. So no quarterback has really showed that they can be consistent in that aspect, and they both have struggled with accuracy. But, yeah, I would say Hendon Hooker's been a little bit more of a – less of a wild card. And not playing Joe Milton this past week maybe worries me a little bit of playing him heading into the swamp. Is he ready for the big-time atmosphere that will be? Who knows on that account? But what we do know, Tennessee was ranked pretty highly for their secondary play. We'll talk about that on the other side. Also, something that we didn't get to because it came out after we got off the air. The 2022 schedule has been released for Vols football, so you want to hear who your Vols are playing next season. Keep it locked here on the Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Blitz. Rolling along here on your Wednesday morning. Be careful out there on the streets. East Tennesseans here in Knoxville. It's kind of wet. But we're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer studio. Cheer on the Big Orange and your favorite teams with White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavor. 1 gram of sugar, just 100 calories. You can keep it on your diet. It won't leave you all bloated feeling. And 5% alcohol, so it still packs a nice punch for you. Available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Go pick up some White Claw today. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee. The Vols finished with the nation's highest graded secondary in week 3, according to Pro Football Focus. They posted a combined score of 87.3 during the 56-0 shutout of the Golden Eagles. Not a great opponent, but still nice to see your team ranking with some of the other better teams from the weekend. Aggies, Texas A&M ranked number 2, secondary grade of 86.1, followed by Northwestern. Third highest score for defensive backs at 83.7. Washington at fourth with 82.4. You had interception from Alante Taylor, Jalen McCullough, also Tamarian McDonald. So that was nice to see. I didn't get to talk with you guys really about the game, but it was nice to see some turnovers from the team, even though you're only playing Tennessee Tech. But that's when you think, like, hey, they should go out there and be ball hawking all around the field.
Well, that was one of the things we talked about coming into the game, Chance, is how important it was to force turnovers.
2 games, 0.
I mean, you had a terrible turnover differential to start coming into that game. You needed to force turnovers. I mean, that is a calling card of a Josh Heupel coach team, is being very positive in that turnover differential. So, you know, sometimes it's just about seeing it go in the hole, seeing it go in the back of the net. Or in this case, you know, seeing it turn over. You've had chances in the first 2 games against Bowling Green, against Pitt. You know, Theo Jackson alone had 2 interceptions go off his hands. But Saturday you execute. You know, you jump some routes. You see things develop in front of you, and you're able to get to some footballs. And, you know, maybe it's one of those things that now that you have made some of those plays, even if it was against incredibly inferior competition, you know, it's something that you can carry over because you have that feeling now. You've gotten it out of the way, and you're more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that people are going to look to the schedule on this, but going into Tennessee's opener, SEC opener, excuse me, on Saturday night in Gainesville at the Swamp against number 11 Florida, the Vols are ranked 68th nationally, 12th in the SEC in passing defense. They're ranked first in the SEC and tied for 5th nationally, though, with 21 passes defended through the first three games. And now they're tied 21st nationally and tied for 4th in the SEC interceptions. The Vols are also in total defense. They're now 4th in the SEC in total defense and scoring defense. And they rank 21st nationally in scoring defense and 17th nationally in in total defense. So some accolades there for our defense, things that you likely wouldn't have expected. We didn't talk much about the defense going into the season. But at the same time, I know the opponents that they face, so we're not going to scream from the mountaintops just yet. But it's still good to see that turnaround, even if it did come in the Tennessee Tech game. You were desperate for just some turnovers, some takeaways. You needed them. You need to see that before you get into this game at the Swamp. What's everybody's mood going into the Swamp? I know it probably didn't make us feel better after watching Florida play Alabama and just coming up slightly short of pulling off an upset there. But what is our mood headed into the Swamp on Saturday night, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Florida game. I'm always jittery and excited just because, you know, the humongous rivalry right here. But, yeah, I was scared as heck when I was watching that Alabama-Florida game. So I have been knocked down a couple pegs just because, man, I thought they would get trounced a little bit more by Alabama right there. But I still got the optimism. Like, our defense definitely showed out. Like, we got a lot of things that we can build on right here that at least I don't see them falling flat and falling over against these guys. So that's nice, but it's going to take everything we have. So I'm a little scared. So excited, but scared.
GP3?
You're going to have to say the question again. I'm completely lost back here.
I was just saying, what is...
I've been in my own zone.
Uh-oh. Back in the zone, back there behind the booth, GP3, the one and only, answering your calls when you hit up the G3 Help Me hotlines. I was just saying, what's your mood going into the Swamp on Saturday for this Tennessee Vols football team? You know, how you feeling? I feel like we're pretty excited headed into the season. Like, maybe Florida's a team that, Tennessee might be able to make some noise on. They don't look like they're that dominant on paper. But then after watching the Alabama game, I'm sure I feel like everybody's perspective has probably changed.
I am cautiously optimistic. I still think this Florida team is beatable. I went back and watched the highlights against Alabama, and they had a good game plan against them. And if Heupel's able to scheme up a good game plan against Florida, there's spots where they can be taken advantage of. Do I think we're going to win? No. I do think we're going to cover the 20 points. And I think this is going to be one of the better shots that we've had to beat Florida in the past couple years. So I think it can be done, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Charlie Bob.
Damn it, GP3. Since when are you going to be positive? Take the words that I was going to say just out of my mouth. I was going to say...
Well, it's pretty odd. He was very positive about it. I that was a complete 180.
I think he just stole my thoughts and spoke them. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic as well. And I think that Florida-Alabama game says just as much about Alabama as it does Florida, that Alabama is a flawed team this year, that they aren't, the perfect world beaters that everyone has made them out to be. Now, they're the best team in the country, more than likely, and they will remain the best team in the country, more than likely, but they aren't on the level of a lot of Alabama teams. They ran for less than 100 yards. Florida ran for 295 on them. So that makes me, that doesn't necessarily make me overrate Florida just because of that outcome. I still think that Florida is a very beatable team. Emory Jones, if you can put the ball in his hands, you can have a chance to beat Florida now. How do you stop that ground game? I don't know. I don't know. It's very good. It is. It's an excellent ground game. Tennessee has been great at stopping the run this year. I've talked about how much I like our defensive front. Granted, you haven't really played anybody. I mean, even half the level that Florida is, but there are ways to beat Florida. There are. And I certainly, again, I think we cover the spread at least.
Yeah, at the very least.
I think we play a competitive football game.
Really? Interesting from the both of you. I don't know, man. It's really tough to win at the Swamp. And I think our quarterback issues, or some people might even say lack thereof right now, really present a struggle.
You got to think that the quarterbacks will get it together.
I hope so.
Sooner than later, though. I mean, they've had 3 games to try to work on these deep passes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have a feeling the receivers are going to be running wide open through that secondary for Florida. It's just a matter of whether or not you can get the ball to them.
Yeah, I think that there'll be opportunities. I mean, I think they'll have some shots, because I do think that we have a talented roster. When you look at the roster, there are a lot of talented players on this team. And I think that Josh Heupel's system is a system that, you know, gives you the ability, gives you a shot to be in a lot of these ball games. I'm just a little discouraged from what we've seen so far. That's just being honest. I know right now, according to our friends over at FanDuel, the spread is at 20.5.
It opened at 22, so it's
opened at 22, so it's dropped a little bit. Starting to see some people put some money Tennessee's way. Do they cover spread? Yeah, I could see that. I'm just not so sold on if I really think this is a game that Tennessee can win. Not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I felt a little bit more better about it at the beginning of the season when we just previewed all the games. But seeing how they did play so well against Alabama, I don't think Tennessee is in that, you know, is on that level yet. So that's what discourages me from really thinking this is going to be a competitive matchup.
But do you think maybe Florida will have a letdown because they came so close to upsetting Alabama and then going to come out flat this week?
I would actually think it'd be the opposite, that they're ready to come out and whoop somebody's ass because of what happened.
I disagree.
How they let one slip up.
See, I don't see that.
I don't feel like that's usually the way it goes either. I feel like usually once you, especially against Alabama, I mean, generally there is a history of teams being worse coming off of an Alabama game, just because physically, you know, it takes such a toll on you, and mentally too, it does. Now you add in the fact that that game was emotionally draining as well, and you have the mental, physical, and emotional side of this Florida Gators team that have, you know, all been drained by playing Alabama. Are they going to be able to work that back up for this game, or is there going to be a little bit of a drag? I would, you know, 7 p.m. in the Swamp certainly get you fired up, and that crowd will be there to help, but you have to imagine that there will be, you know, a little bit of this team will be a little bit flat, at least out of the gate. Now, Florida being flat out of the gate, is that enough for Tennessee to be able to take advantage and win a football game? Probably not. But
see, I just think it's completely opposite. I think they were pretty hyped up. Night game underneath the lights on ESPN, nationally televised game, come out and really prove that they're one of the top teams in the country, or they can compete as one of that they're one of the top teams in the country. Yeah, the way they played against Alabama, I think they're going to come out and be like, I'm very scared that it's going to come out and be a statement win, and Tennessee's going to be on the other side of that at the expense of that.
Well, beating Tennessee isn't a statement win, though.
Well, no, that doesn't have to mean beating Tennessee. I mean, coming out and, you know, putting up 50 on Tennessee, really humiliating the bleep out of them. Like, that's what I mean by statement, like just coming out and doing what you want to.
I just feel like there's not much of a history of those kind of things happening generally after teams lose to Alabama or lose close ones to Alabama.
Your last 4 games, 31-19 against Florida last season, 34-3, 2019, 47-21, 2018, 2017 you lost by, you know, the touchdown late, and then last time you beat them, obviously everybody remembers that, 2016, where it was 38-28 here in Knoxville.
Man, that was awesome.
The last time Tennessee has won in Gainesville, you have to go all the way back to the 2003 season when you beat Florida 24-10. We're talking 18 years ago.
That's sad.
Oh, no.
You have to go back 18 years ago is the last time that the Vols went to the Swamp and won one.
I didn't realize it had been that long.
Mm-hmm. And really before that, you've had, let's see, two wins in the Swamp since 1997. Two. And there were some much more talented teams than the guys on this roster, and that's not a knock at those guys.
It's been 18 years, but it's only been 9 games. So it's been 9 straight losses in the Swamp just because you're playing every other year. So at least It's not as bad as it sounds initially.
No, it's still pretty bad.
It still sounds
it's
pretty bad.
It's bad. Okay.
It
fine.
Still sounds pretty bad. 865-546.
Emory Jones, I'm not scared of him.
I don't think that you should be. I'm not saying that you should be scared of Emory Jones. I think that you are correct there. Like, if you can put keep the ball in his hands, maybe you cause him to, you know, commit some big turnovers late.
You can get them in passing situations on third down. You can beat the Florida Gators.
All right, that's what we hope for. 865-546-8200. That's the number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com, G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com. On the other side, we'll look at the 2022 football schedule for your Tennessee Volunteers. Keep it locked here. This is Fan Run Radio, and this is the Blitz. Get huh? You guys tell me about cricket here in the studio.
Yeah, you know, you got bowlers and wickets, flat paddles.
Only cricket I know is dots. Not much of the cricket across the pond. I've watched it a couple times, though. I just don't understand the rules.
It's interesting.
And they wear, like, pads on their legs, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you get hit by one of those, I guess.
Soft.
Is it like a
baseball?
They're
soft.
Yeah, or is it like a lacrosse type
ball? Or is it
like
a hard wooden ball?
Oh, I have no idea. I always thought it was like a hard wooden ball.
That's what I thought, too.
It's round.
Man, that would hurt your hands if you had a wooden paddle with a wooden ball and got some, like, good contact.
And
like, that would stink.
None of the fielders wear gloves, so.
Oh, if they're not wearing gloves, then why do they need pads? Uh-oh, what is this? That's soft. I was just saying, yeah, when our football season inevitably falls apart, though, we should just get into cricket.
Well, maybe we should.
There's cricket on right now on ESPN+.
Really?
Yeah, you can pretty much always count on cricket being on somewhere.
Well, the SEC is always on, and even though you haven't got even out of the first month of this season, they did release the finalized 2022 football schedule.
Chance.
Yes.
Before we get into Tennessee's, as we talk about this finalized schedule, can we all just take a second to recognize that in week zero, Vanderbilt is playing at Hawaii?
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's nasty.
Like the August 27th, that week zero, they're playing at Hawaii. Why is that happening? Who made that decision?
Free vacation for the football guys.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if I was a Vanderbilt player. I'm going to go to Hawaii. Let's ride. We already know we're going to win like four games, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Let's go to Hawaii. Let's go get beat.
I wonder if they're doing a home and home with Hawaii.
I don't know. I don't know if Vanderbilt's illustrious enough to draw Hawaii back to Nashville for their home game.
I wonder if people from Hawaii view Nashville as their vacation destination.
I bet they think poorly of Nashville.
Nashville's grown a lot.
It has.
In, like, the public eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Agreed.
Hawaii.
It's no Hawaii, but.
Oh, no, of course not.
But if you're from Hawaii.
If you're from Hawaii, you're probably pretty tired of Hawaii.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
You got island fever. Because
I've got friends who are from Hawaii, Samoa, and they just constantly talk about missing the island. Like, so I feel like they never really get tired of it. Like, it's that beautiful, and it's just that amazing.
Exactly. And I would just
all the talk I've ever heard about it, that's just me.
Well, I was just looking at right here. I was looking into what GP3 was asking, if Vandy Hawaii was doing a home-and-home. So, yeah, it's great for the Vandy players to go to Hawaii, but these Hawaii guys got to come to Vandy in 2023.
But they get to come to Nashville and party.
Yeah, I mean.
I feel like that's not that bad.
Like,
well, they probably won't really.
You're in Hawaii.
They won't really get to party, but they'll take them out, and they'll do some stuff on Broadway. I'm sure their coaches will.
Get to see all the bachelorettes.
Yeah, they'll do some Broadway stuff.
So they'll get to experience a real SEC environment.
Oh, yeah.
Tickets for the price of a four for four.
You get to see all the Tennessee fans, the Kentucky fans, the Alabama fans that live in Nashville.
That's very true. Like, what is this? All these transplants.
I mean, you could walk down Broadway and look for college football fans, and I think that you could find 10 Tennessee fans, 10 Alabama fans, and maybe, like, what, 10 Georgia fans before you'd find 5 Vandy fans?
If it's baseball season, you'll typically find more Vandy fans out and about, but yeah, during football season. They're kind of hard to find.
Yeah, they're very fair weather.
Well, they also, they're not out of Broadway. Not at 8 p.m. That's too late for them.
Are we done talking about Vandy?
It's past their bedtime.
Candy, yeah. The Commodores. Are we done talking about them? 865-546-8200. We were going to break down the 2022 schedule. Might have to push it off to hour number one. I want to really look at that in detail. But let's go back over to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Remember, if you're a loved one is involved or injured in an accident, hit up our friends at g3helpme.com. That's g3helpme.com, the law office of G. Turner Howard III. Let's take a call from Matt. Matt, you're on the Blitz. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning, guys. Would it not suck to live in Tuscaloosa or Birmingham or Gainesville compared to Knoxville?
To answer those questions, Tuscaloosa, terrible. There's nothing going on there. It's a gross-looking place.
If you start carrying water for damn Gainesville right here.
Birmingham, not a great place. Gainesville, I moderately enjoyed.
Turn his mic off!
Let me finish. Because
shut him down, boy.
I will say this. The weather is nice and they have pretty good food.
Oh, my God.
You could be in worse.
This is Florida Hate Week. I'm sorry, Matt, for that. I'm sorry about that.
The weather's nice. It's like 100 degrees and just swampy, man. There's nothing but flatland and just
I didn't even get to finish either. I was going to add in, but the people are insufferable.
You still gave them a compliment. You still carried a little water for them.
The food I ate was good.
You can find good food pretty much anywhere in Florida.
Yeah, come on here.
Hey, in all seriousness, I take it for granted how pretty it is here just from living here. I mean, you got mountains, lakes. You got everything to see that you can watch. The only thing that sucks here are the allergies. Everything else is good.
That's 100% true. I moved here from the Mid-State in 2009. Finished my collegiate career. I like to call it a career because it took me so damn long to graduate. But finished it here at UT. And I always tell people that. They're like, you're going to move back home. Nashville's blowing up as it is. I grew up 30 minutes west of Nashville. But I wouldn't. One, it's too pricey. I can't stand the traffic. And I do generally love East Tennessee. Like you said, I take for granted a lot of times, too. I agree with you on that one.
Love East Tennessee. Agree.
If Milton starts, y'all think Milton or Hooker's going to start?
I think that Hooker's going to start, and it's all just a cat and mouse game, putting Milton up there as the QB1.
I also think Hooker's going to start, but I don't feel as confident as Chance does in that.
I think Hooker starts, but with a very short lead.
I don't know. I just got done saying I think it's going to be they're going to blow Tennessee out the water in like some type of statement game. I just think that Hooker's going to start because he's started the last two, and I think it's kind of silly. Even as talented as Joe Milton, his potential is, like, you're just going to put him in there after not really playing the last couple of games in the swamp, night game underneath the lights. Like, maybe go with Hooker until he just drastically, like, does something that changes the outcome of the game. Like, you know, until he just falls flat in his face. But I feel like you got to give him a shot.
Yeah, I don't, it's going to be weird to watch because I do think they're going to have – whichever one starts probably will have a short leash. And I don't really know if that's fair or not. But at the same time, it's like if they start overthrowing players that are wide open. And I do agree, whoever said it earlier, that we're going to have some wide open shots downfield with Florida secondary. I don't know how many we'll have, but we'll have a few. And if these guys are, if say Hooker starts and he overthrows or Milton does, I just don't know if pulling them out.
You bring up a good point. I mean, at some point, you do have to just stick with someone to try and weather the storm of these next couple of games and try to, you know, get your team rallied around somebody instead of just playing this quarterback carousel. Like, we talked about that at the beginning of the season. We didn't want to see a quarterback carousel throughout the season. We want to see one guy, then be able to stick with the guy unless he's just you know, awful, like JG awful.
I don't know if whoever we play Saturday will have a short leash, honestly. I think we're going to pick someone and roll with it. Good batter.
He might. Yeah, I don't know. I think for some reason I feel like this coaching staff just loves Milton. Like I don't know if Hooker would, if he minus him getting hurt, if Hooker would even had a chance, you know. But I think it's obvious. I don't think there's that much of a glaring difference between the two. I think they're pretty similar quarterbacks, except for the arm of Milton. But that's what hurts him sometimes on those deep balls. that's the only chance I think we're going to have if we're going to beat Florida. Is we got to pop them in the mouth early and get up on them. If it's a, I just don't feel good if it's a close game going into halftime and they make some. I don't know. I'd take a close game, but I think for us to win, we got to be aggressive early, and they'll probably rally back at some point in the second half. Then it's a close game. Maybe we can win on a field goal or something. But I mean, what do you guys think?
I'm very I'm battered and beaten. I think that they're going to blow us out. I might change as the hype train moves along, as the week goes along. But right now, I just feel like they're going to blow us out, and be honest with you.
You know, I do think it's really important to get off to a good start early because, again, coming off the emotional letdown of Alabama, coming off of the physical toll of Alabama, if they're not at their best right away, they're going to kind of, you know, need the help of that crowd to get them back into it a little bit, to get them fired up. So if you can score early, if you can get on them early and try to take that crowd out of the game, then that makes it a lot harder for Florida to bounce back and punch back.
Well, the two glaring weaknesses to me on this team are the quarterback and the offensive line and our running backs. I don't think we've got a stellar running back. I think we've got good running backs, but we just don't have a breakaway running back guy yet. Maybe Small's that guy, but this offensive line's going to have to, they're going to have to pass protect if we're going to, because we've had some of these plays Milton had, especially in that first game, and even against Pitt with Hooker, they're back there, you know, 10 seconds standing in that pocket. You're not going to have that luxury against Florida. So that offensive line is going to have to pass protect and run block a little bit better than they have been. I know we've ran the ball decent, but I don't know, guys. It's getting here, though. I can't believe the stats you guys are reading. Every time I hear it, 9 straight losses. However you read it, 9 straight down there, or 16, 15 out of 16. I can't believe we've had our asses handed to us this bad from this program. Shocks me every time I hear it.
It sure does. See you guys. Hey, appreciate the call, Matt. Always a pleasure. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on and chime in just like Matt did on the G3 Help Me Hotline. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, wrap up hour number one. This is The Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. We're just getting started.
Where are we going, Chance?
Well, Charlie, today we're traveling down to Jacksonville, Florida. By way of Lake City. That's right. On Monday, the Lake City Police Department were dispatched to 4325 Highway 90. That's a Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealership. For those,
I knew exactly where that is.
I knew you did. And they found a guy by the name of
Daryl.
Nope.
Oh,
name not Daryl.
Buford.
They not have his name right here. They don't have his name. Well, anyways. Buford. A man, however, well, employees.
Then his name is Daryl.
Employees spoke to officers who advised them that an individual came to the dealership and was attempting to. Any guesses?
Have intercourse with the cars.
Good one for a Florida man, but not true.
Man, I was thinking that one too.
Steal tires.
Yeah.
Hide his heroin in the gas
cap. Steering wheels.
Well, this man was attempting to trade his current vehicle for a new one. But employees say upon checking the vehicle's VIN number, they discovered that the vehicle was stolen from the dealership just a few days prior. The old steal the car from them, trade it back in routine.
I thought there was going to be an alligator involved, honestly. Everybody's, I hope you're going to be like, trade his alligator for... It turns out his car was an alligator.
Nah, the man by the name of, I found his name here, Timothy Wolf. That's right, he looks like a Timothy Wolf, too. I'll have to retweet this picture out. But police say after being advised, Timothy Wolf admitted to stealing the vehicle from the dealership lot just 2 days prior.
Dude, at least take it to a different dealership.
I mean, don't you have to at least wait like 3 weeks or something? Like, at least 3 weeks. Or go to another dealership, as Charlie said, or maybe even,
you know,
out of town.
Just go to Jacksonville Beach instead of Jacksonville. Yeah. They'll take it there.
Well, it was Jacksonville by way of Lake City, though. An additional review of the dealership's closed-circuit camera system showed that Timothy Wolf did steal the car. He was charged with grand theft, dealing in stolen property, criminal mischief, and petty theft.
Criminal mischief.
Yeah. I love the dealing in stolen property, trying to deal it back to the dealership. That is by far the biggest, like, I don't know. I don't know whether to call the guy stupid or just very, you know, very clever or not really clever, it's just stupid. Like, but like, I'm going to steal this car from you, and I'm going to come back a couple days later and trade it in. Just go in here nonchalant, like nothing's wrong. Yeah, like they went over and talked to him. Yeah, I came in to trade my current vehicle for a new one. Looking for, you know, that new Chrysler 300 over there.
Probably didn't even take the stickers off the car that with the big numbers on it with the price.
Oh, yeah. Just the type of gonads you need to have to pull this one off.
Maybe he just didn't remember stealing it from there. Maybe he just forgot where he stole it from. He just knew he knew that dealership was part of the plan, but he couldn't remember if it was the stealing part or the returning part.
Maybe so. He looks like he was on a lot of drugs.
Which, well, there's definitely some places that you could sell a stolen car in Florida, too. Like, and probably pretty close by. There's a place to sell a stolen car every other mile in that state.
I'm sure there is, Charlie. I'm sure there is. Hey, Florida Man and Hour Number 1 brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. NFL is back, people, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night tomorrow, you got Thursday Night Football back in action, the Panthers versus the Texans, and that's a great opportunity to give this a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. That's right. Make that same-game parlay tomorrow. Maybe put a little any-touchdown score on Sam Darnold. Maybe go with Tyrod Taylor, Mark Ingram, Christian McCaffrey, Run CMC. There's a lot of good ones you could put tomorrow night for that game. And the reason why we love betting on FanDuel, everybody knows, fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure, and America's number one sports book. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up $10 back if your bet doesn't win. If you're new to FanDuel, also claim the 30-1 odds on either team to win in this Monday night game against Philadelphia and Dallas. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That is promo code BLITZ. As always, 21 or older and present in Tennessee, refund issues non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in states on mobile and web gaming. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two is on deck.